Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, we got a lot in store tonight here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 as we welcome you in right after the Wheelhouse with Brad, Cody, and Jake. Appreciate them transitioning after their long day in studio into Soccer Matters. And by the way, not only do we have a lot of good stuff at the top of the hour, but we got a lot of good stuff at the bottom of the hour. And I cannot wait actually to get to the bottom of the hour, because sometimes the bottom of the hour, Andrew Carlson, is the best part of the hour. The bottom of the hour.
Good to hear your voice, Glenn. That's all I'm going to say. It's good to be back with you, man. I appreciate it, and I'm excited to see what happens in the next few weeks and months.
Yeah, you know what, Andrew? I'm excited you're back, too. And as everybody knows, Aaron Raybould has been doing such a wonderful job here. But Aaron moved on to the morning show. Now we've got Andrew Carlson, who, by the way, and we have to put this out there and remind everybody, they probably know it already, Andrew, you are a huge Arsenal fan.
Unfortunately, yes, Glenn.
Yeah, I want to say, come on.
I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up this early on, you know. Yeah. The club's not in the best of states at the moment, but yes, unfortunately, that is who I support.
How did you feel after Brentford, who just got newly promoted, beat Arsenal 2-0?
If you want me to be honest, it was almost apathy, which I think is worse than feeling upset, because it's gotten to the point now where I've just been so frustrated with them over the past months and really year or so now that it doesn't even incite anger. It's more apathy and just, oh, here we go
again.
You're numb. Yep.
You're numb. It's called Apathy FC. That's what it is. Arsenal. Apathy FC, right?
Yeah, that's what it feels like right now as an Arsenal supporter.
Well, you know what's always dangerous in the Premier League? Any newly promoted team, they are so jacked and adrenalized in their first couple of games. It's best not to play them, probably, if you're Arsenal in your first game. It was a great opening of the Premier League, though. I don't think there's any question. There was tons of excitement and very, very good games. We've seen some new players moving on to new teams. I think it was a pretty, pretty exciting weekend for Europe. And you had Pogba's four assists in the Leeds win over Leeds for United. You had Spurs beating City. You had Pulisic scoring for Chelsea. We can go on and on, but there was a lot to be excited about. And it was great to see a lot of fans back as well, which still, I'm very confused about all that, but it's good. A couple of things here as we got Andrew Carlson here tonight. Let me just kind of give you the rundown of what we're doing here. Right now, Tigres is getting set to play on the 2-NA and Univision. But our show tonight, well, it's always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We're going to be streaming, as always, at ESPN975.com. The call-in number throughout the show is 713-780-3776. Look, with the Dynamo not winning since May, I know there's a lot going on the chatter boards and the keyboard warriors. I would love people to give a take tonight here. Phone lines are going to be open. I did ask to get some people on the show. There was a flight going out. I tried to get Matt Jordan on, but he said he couldn't do it because he was flying out to Real Salt Lake with the team. So that's understandable. Yeah, we do want to hear things, that's for sure. And tomorrow night's performance at RSL is going to be a big one. 713-780-3776. I know lots of Premier League fans have takes also. It's only one game, don't forget that, from the weekend. But I, as you, are very interested in the European game. So I'd love any of the supporters groups, members, give us your take on your team's first result, whether you're, you know, Barcelona, Manchester United, Liverpool. Give me your sense of optimism or whatever's on your mind about your football team. Dynamo fans, I know you're fired up. So, again, you got open phone lines here tonight. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. I got tickets to the Dynamo FC Dallas this weekend. We're going to give a bunch of those away. The question, do you think the Dynamo will make the playoffs here this year? What are the pros and cons of the team right now? You heard Tab Ramos say, look, the next six games are going to pretty much determine our playoff future. Sophie Schmidt, the Canadian international, she plays for the Houston Dash. She is a gold medal winner. She's played over 200 times for Canada. She will be on the show tonight. Julia Grosso, who hit the game-winning penalty kick for Canada in the sixth round against Sweden. She plays her college soccer at the University of Texas. She's a senior there. She will be on the show tonight. Former Dynamo defender, color analyst on Channel 55 tomorrow night with me, Eddie Robinson, will be on the show. Victor Ariza writes for The Striker. He covers the Dynamo. He will be on the show. And Alex Parra, the Spanish language voice of the Houston Dynamo, Telemundo, Telexitos, where he works with Gustavo Rangel and Daniela Rodriguez. Alex will be on the show as well. So we're gonna volley around a number of different topics here tonight. Andrew, you do have the sound of Gerd Muller's goal, which was the winning
Absolutely.
Goal in the 1974 World Cup final. Well, rest in peace, Gerd Muller. Let's take a listen to that.
Muller there to support him. Going on his own. Now Muller looks for it. Gets it. Oh, that's the way that little man gets them. The way he gets it. It looked utterly impossible for him to swing his boot back and get hold of it.
So Gerd Muller, 75 years of age, passed away. That was the game-winning goal in the 1974 World Cup final, which was a classic, 2-1 over the Netherlands. They nicknamed him Der Bomber. He was kind of short-legged but thick. I mean, had huge drumstick thighs. And if you remember that finish in that World Cup final against the Netherlands and Johan Cruyff, you will remember that he kind of had to reach around. His hips weren't necessarily facing the target, and he swiveled in a finish. And that ended up being the game winner. And that was after the Netherlands went out to a 1-0 league, and West Germany had not even touched the ball. They earned a penalty. They hadn't touched the ball. It was 1-0. 574 goals in 594 appearances for Bayern Munich. Now let that sink in, Andrew, and listeners. 574 goals in 594 games. That's remarkable. You just have to think about that for a moment to realize how often this guy scored. And I mean, just how consistent a goal scorer he was. Gary Lineker, the former great England striker who also played in Barcelona, at Barcelona, called him the greatest penalty area goal scorer in the game. So it's a rest in peace to Gerd Muller. I do believe he had some addiction problems at one point, and all his former Bayern Munich teammates who were working for Bayern Munich, like Uli Hoeneß, they sort of rescued him and got him back into youth coaching and really circled around him and helped him with that problem. But Der Bomber is gone. He played 3 years for the Fort Lauderdale Strikers here in the United States. Gerd Muller, rest in peace, 75 years of age. Bayern Munich today, 3-1 over Borussia Dortmund. Now, the German Super Cup today, I mean, this was an exciting match. I don't know if anybody watched this. I'm not always up for, you know, the Super Cups and these things, but this was really open. Robert Lewandowski picking up where he left off, two goals. And by the way, remember last year, Lewandowski broke Gerd Muller's season goal total, you know, most goals in a season in the Bundesliga. Thomas Muller scored as well. He hasn't gone anywhere. Marco Reus scoring for Dortmund. Julian Nagelsmann taking over at Bayern Munich for Hansi Flick. And, you know, Nagelsmann was really classy. Immediately after this win, it's a first trophy and all that. All his attention is to saying that this win was essentially because of the work Hansi Flick has done. Now, that's class. right? Yeah, there'd be a lot of coaches with ego that would go in and make that all about them, right? I'm here. I'm the first guy. You know, I'm winning the cup. But he made it very clear that he was Julian Nagelsmann giving a lot of credit to Hansi Flick. Flick is now the German national team coach taking over for Yogi Löw. Meanwhile, guess who Nagelsmann's position has been taken by? And you know this, at RB Leipzig, was filled by former MLS player and coach Jesse Marsh. Marsh and Leipzig played at Mainz this past weekend. They got upset 1-0 despite having 73% of the possession. Tyler Adams was a starter for Leipzig in that, but they got beat on a lone goal from Musa Nakate. After it was a really bizarre Leipzig clear. It was like straight up in the air, and Nakate was like standing at the kind of far post and just had to move forward a couple of yards and put it in. Erling Haaland was pushing like crazy, like he always does for Borussia Dortmund. He did not score, but let's not forget, this is for Erling Haaland essentially a, quote, shop window type year, unquote, for him, because he's likely going to be gone at the end of the season. Gio Reyna played, tried to set up Haaland a couple of times, had a couple of moments. There was one incredible moment when there was a bouncing ball, and Neuer came out off his line like he always does to clear a ball, and he went shoulder to shoulder with Haaland, and Haaland pretty much, you know, knocked him off balance into the ground, which you don't always see with Manuel Neuer. They went shoulder to shoulder, and he dumped Neuer to the ground. So that was a pretty interesting moment there. The Bayern Munich jersey, by the way, is going to be one that's going to be hot for people to buy. I mean, it's in honor of the Alps, and it just has these really cool designs of mountains on it. I don't know if you saw it. If you didn't, take a look at it. Here's what the Bayern Munich lineup looked like. Neuer, Davies, Sule, Upamecano, Stanisic. Midfield, you had deeper line, Goretzka and Kimmich. Gnabry, Muller, and Coman, along with Lewandowski. Off the bench comes Jamal Musiala, Corent Tolisso, and Leroy Sané. That's a pretty deep team. You know who else was on the bench for Bayern Munich, believe it or not? Played right here in Houston for the Texans for a very short amount of time, for Eric Quill, for about a year. He came from, I believe, Alabama. Quill brought him here. Chris Richards was on the bench for Bayern Munich in that game. More MLS news. Brendan Aaronson, who used to play at the Philadelphia Union, scored today as Red Bull Salzburg beat Brøndby 2-1 at home to inch closer to getting into kind of the Champions League group stage area. So good for Brendan Aaronson at Red Bull Salzburg. By the way, his brother now is getting some minutes for the Philadelphia Union, so it's pretty interesting. Tigres at Querétaro right now on TV in a pretty empty Tigres stadium. All right. Earlier today, Toluca 2-2 with Mazatlan. All right. Carly Lloyd, here's another big one, has retired. 128 goals, 2 gold medals, second most caps to Christine Lilly, over 300 appearances for the United States. She had 5 different coaches while with the U.S. Women's National Team. 39 years old. Just a remarkable career, over 300 caps for the United States. Andrew, did you watch any of the U.S. Women's National Team games?
I tried to. The timing was a little bit difficult for some of them, but I tried to at least watch the highlights. Obviously, the Canada game, despite our guests later on in the show, was very frustrating.
Yes, yeah, so you think about Canada. They had never beaten the U.S., so they beat them. They've gotten bronze twice in prior Olympics, London 2012, and they get over the top, and they win it all. And you know what? It's all about navigation. Their first 3 games, Canada had 2 draws. And nobody's ever going to think about this stuff. They legitimately won without penalty kicks 2 matches, including the 1-0 win over the U.S. But then they had the 2 penalty kick wins, 1 over Brazil and then, of course, 1 over Sweden. Doesn't diminish a thing that they did. But it just shows you tournaments are very interesting. Penalty kicks are becoming even more important now. It's crazy. So do you buy in, Andrew, to the thought that this was an older U.S. team that, may have been a little bit too old for this? Do you buy in that it's on Vlatko Andonovsky for not being experienced enough as a head coach after he was picked by U.S. soccer? What's your take on it?
Personally, I don't think so. Watching the Canada-United States game, I understand that they didn't play their best probably in this tournament as we've seen them play in years past, but I think this team had plenty of talent to make it through and win the gold medal. It just so happens that, as you know, Glenn, it's the nature of the sport. Sometimes you can have all the possession you want, you can have all the shots you want, but you're not going to find the back of the net on that day. And I think Canada, they parked the bus, they did their jobs, and you know what? Sometimes you're going to lose a game like that, and it just so happened for the U.S. that, unfortunately, it was in the elimination round.
Yeah, I get that. I think this was a team that had a lot of personal interests going on in a lot of different areas, whether it's sponsors and things like that. I got the sense this team was not coming in a place that was perfect. They took an absolute beatdown from Sweden. They did recover to win a bronze medal. I think you got to give credit there. But it was not an easy Olympics, and I don't think it was easy to be a coach of this team. And we're going to take a break here. And we'll talk more about that tonight, definitely. As we go to break here, caller number three right now. I got a pair of tickets to the Houston Dynamo FC Dallas Texas Derby game this Saturday. That's out at BBVA Stadium. Why not head out there this weekend? First off, though, the Dynamo got to get some business done tomorrow night. So we will continue talk. We'll do some Premier League talk. We've got some guests coming in that will bat a few things around here. We also have the great story of the Turkish player Macau, who during a game headbutts his own teammate. Now, that's what you call fun and games in Turkey. Remember, Dynamo center back Tinic Adebi came from Malatyaspor in Turkey. But the Turkish player Macau headbutting his own team on his own teammate on Galatasaray. Pretty incredible stuff. All right, 713-780-3776. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to get a few guests in here. We'll let you know who they are when we come around the corner.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
This is a bad start for the Dynamo to continue to give corners away to Colorado. In it comes, and there's a header. It's 1-0. The Colorado Rapids. Lawless Abubakar has punished another slow start from the Dynamo here, conceding corners. Huge moment here. Papapico, yes! It is 1-1 here in Houston. It comes on the stroke of halftime. It is a huge goal for Papapico. Here is Rubio. Here is Mark Anthony. K to the back post, and Barrios will side-foot it in. There is no flag up. Well, it's a good pick out there from Trusty to Bassett. Bassett's got a rudder on the far side of the field. It's Galvan. Oh, what a goal. He curled it in. What a hit from Brian Galvan. And that's how it went. It was a rough night for the Houston Dynamo at BBVA Stadium, going down 3-1 to the Colorado Rapids. And as we mentioned earlier in the first segment, Todd Ramos came out saying, look, the next six games basically are going to determine our playoff future. Show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. And again, throughout the show, including in this segment, if you want to join in the discussion with my next two guests, it's 713-780-3776. So joining us now, Victor Ariza, the striker who covers the Dynamo intensely, and Alex Parra, the Spanish language voice of the Houston Dynamo. You catch Alex working alongside Gustavo Rangel and Daniela Rodriguez on Telemundo Telexitos. Gentlemen, starting with you, Alex, welcome. Victor, welcome.
Glenn, always a pleasure to be with you, and we find ourselves in some interesting moments in the lifetime of Houston Dynamo. So welcome Good evening, and Victor also, good evening. How are you, sir?
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Glenn, for the invitation. Thanks, Alex. Always always nice to talk about Dynamo, well, even if times aren't always well, but you know, we always have plenty to talk about.
It is our job, and you know what? You got to go through the good times and the bad times. You got to suffer. Maybe we've done a bit more suffering over the last 10 years than most, but that's okay. We're hoping and we're optimistic for good times to come. By the way, Victor, this is not a formal affair, so you know, you can take the tuxedo off, all right? All right. So let's just start with this. Guys, you heard the goals, and I'll start with you, Victor. You know, you were at this game. Where is this team in your mind right now? Did you think this team heading into this season was going to make the playoffs?
I did, because I think if you examine the roster, they're good enough to make the playoffs. If you look at, I mean, just look at the standings. That right there tells you they're 5 points away. To me, it's all attitude. It's an attitude of the team, mentality, whatever you want to call it. Part of it, I mentioned it with you before, it's the coach. He doesn't look like he's having, like he's enjoying the game. You know, it's a coach who was going to walk in here and change the culture, and he just looks beaten up by the same culture that he came in to change. So I think attitude is a lot of it, because they've created opportunities. They just can't finish them. They have plenty of quality. They just need to get things done. It's as simple as that.
Alex, do you agree with that? Because look, there's a lot of fresh people in here that came in. This roster has been kind of turned over like a garden a little bit, and there are a number of guys that are new and fresh that should be coming here with a good attitude.
Sure. No, I agree with the premise of me believing initially at the start of the season, after COVID, after whatever that was last season, Glenn and Victor, that the team could make the playoffs. Beyond that, I didn't have higher expectations. I thought finally with Tab getting his team or more of his team now in Houston, that was a short-term legitimate goal. Obviously, you asked me that today, and I don't have the same optimism. And you talked about something that's key, Glenn, the culture, changing that culture to make it a winning culture. But there's still things, gentlemen, and we all see this, from personnel to consistency to many things that can be fixed. I still believe in Tab. I think he can do it.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. Listen, there is something we have to put in context here. First of all, it's year two for Tab Ramos. So for all the fans that are calling for, you know, him to be fired, I'm not sure I totally agree with that. Look, what occurred here before is not on Tab Ramos. It's not on Ted Siegel, the new owner. Okay, there's been year after year of this team being driven into the ground. That these guys have, they're not accountable for that. That's not their fault. And look, what we feel is the pain of a lot of fans who have just seen this repeat and rinse, repeat and rinse, repeat and rinse. So I think a lot of this has to be taken in context. Victor, I want to take you deeper into what you said about the culture. Are you talking about effort? Are you talking about confidence? What are you talking about?
Leadership and just better intelligence on the field. You know, in all of this, where's Tim Parker been, the captain of the team, the guy who's supposed to be the leader of these guys, the guy who was brought in the offseason to be the difference maker culture-wise? Where has he been? You know, he comes after the Minnesota game and he talks about, you know, it doesn't weigh on us that much. Really? 10, 11 winless games and it doesn't weigh on the team? Like, there has to be different personality within the team, right? And just details within the game. The second goal this last game against the Colorado Rapids, right? Sam Junkwell gets hit in the face, right? Popped in the face. Here's a guy who earlier this season had concussion problems, right? He was out for 2 months. Nobody on that team has the foresight, and I think it starts with the captain, to say, hey, kick that ball out of bounds, right? Let's get this guy checked. Let's get him ready. And then what happens? You try to play out, right? For whatever reason, you try to play out with the ball. A couple seconds later, second goal. Boom, Michael Barrios. And who does he beat? Sam Junkwell. Because of those.
Yeah, I think I've heard that take before, but I'm not sure I 100% agree with that. This all happened very, very quickly. I think it's a bit, for me, it's a bit of a stretch. What do you think, Alex? Do you, you know the play.
Well, yeah, I think it's on several people, and I don't want to move away from the play, and forgive me for doing that. My mind was taking me into what Victor just said, the culture. I believe we agree, gentlemen, is the lack of urgency, be it in that play, be it in everything the team is doing. I don't think we're to the point where the team is desperate, but I don't see that urgency, accountability. Victor, it could start with and end with the captain, but it's not only him. It's everyone.
You got El Salvador national team players. You got guys that played in Argentina. You got plenty of people with experience that can grab the mantle. It's generally not one person.
Sure.
If anybody's leading by example, I think it's Teenage Adebi.
Oh, yeah. Teenage has done a great job. And it should be complemented now by a veteran like Tim Parker. That duo, to me, has such a potential. But potential is only so long. This has to happen now, gentlemen. I think that's now the urgency. It's the word I'm hearing from the people that are around the team, fans that want something. And Glenn, you've lived it a lot longer than I have now, of the word disappointment. And something's got to give, or it's just naturally going to continue down the path where it's headed right now. And that's not positive.
So let me say this. Let me say this, Victor. I'm not disagreeing with you. I would like to see some more emotion.
Yeah, and I'm
also.
Not, and I'm not
I agree.
To put, you know, 100%.
Yeah, no. I agree with you. We want to see some visible emotion. We want to, you know, the fan base wants to see a few people, you know, kind of pissed off personally.
Sure.
I think because, you know, we all don't want to be associated with a losing team. You know, look, if you take the Dynamo and the Dash, in 13 seasons, we've made the playoffs once. This doesn't help you sell a business. It doesn't help you sell a product. And we have to take into account that this is not a quick turnaround. One thing is very clear here, and you guys were a part of this discussion. We talked about the midfield in the beginning of the year, and there was a lot of differing opinions about it. It does not have somebody that runs it, controls it, and maybe that's going to be Coco Karaskia, but it does not have that singular person. I hope it's going to be him. I'll start with you, Alex.
I agree with you. There's nobody, there's no 10, there's nobody in the midfield that has that calm, maturity, consistency. Karaskia, Coco, to me, has the potential. I've seen flashes of it in the two games that he's been with the team. Again, potential, we go back to it. And that's another hole that needs to be filled. Consistency up front. Again, I don't want to pick it apart. That's too easy. I like to think about it at this point, gentlemen, of what can be done. Where does it start? Where does it start to turn around? But yes, Glenn, that's a perfect place to start. Karaskia, he could be the man that starts this, hopefully, turnaround for the team.
Yeah, I mean, we've played this whole season, Victor, and we're with Victor Ariza of The Striker with Alex Parra, who does the Spanish language broadcasts on Telexitos. We have seen a number of games throughout the season where we just don't have a singular player that can pick a ball up and run with it out of midfield. And it's a handicap. And I think, as Alex says, we're hoping Karaskia is going to be the guy that can change that around. But I also think we have to remember, you know, Tab Ramos, I mean, he seems to be the only guy speaking up. He needs maybe a little bit of support. I mean, he needs his players to step up for him now.
Right. And, you know, going back to Karaskia, I mean, if he's not the guy who gets creative in attack, I don't think anybody else will. I think we've seen what everybody else on this team can do. To that point, like I said, I go back. The quality's there. You saw it Saturday night, right? I mean, it's just you know, there was two plays there where, you know, Karaskia could have had his first MLS assist. So only thing too, but it's part of that. I mean, they have to play in unison, right? They have to all pull in the same direction, and that's why where's the spine of the team? Where we talked about, right? The importance, Marco Maric, I think, needs to be a little bit more vocal as well. I think at the beginning of the year, we all liked the passion of Maxi Urruti. I think that has to come back a little bit. And that's the only way that I see this team turning it around and getting to the playoffs. And it's very doable.
So let's just stop for a second here and us three can contemplate this. Look at the amount of guys that have had the shot at running the team in midfield. Memo Rodriguez hasn't worked. Joe Corona, nope. In fairness to Joe Corona, he's not a 10. He's an 8, right? So I think we kind of have to be fair there. But not enough key passes. You know, the guys that are playmakers on the best teams in MLS are making plays. They're winning games. They're providing double the amount of key passes. And Todd Ramos has given an awful lot of people an opportunity to make that their job, and nobody's grabbed it.
No, agreed, Glenn. I think you point that out. Victor pointed this out. People have had the opportunity. And in this business, gentlemen, it's not about, oh, let's grow this. Let's see where we can be in 2 or 3 years. It's not a youth academy. It's not a youth club or team. It's a competitive team where winning is the measure of success or failure. And the point you made, Glenn, earlier, that these next six games are obviously the lifeline that will define the season is upon us. So the now is now. It's no longer, hey, let's think about this. Let's see how it goes. And I go back to that word. What I've been hearing from coach, from others, it's not an urgency of my job's on the line anymore. Maybe that is, though, the pressure, gentlemen, that we need. And Glenn,
well,
I'm not trying to get away from your midfield question.
No, don't worry about that. But look, this is a problem we've had forever here. We don't have healthy pressure. We don't have it from the outside. That's not – it just makes it harder for the Dynamo to succeed without the public putting pressure on them, following through. I mean, we never heard a story of why Jamie Roots – left. We know nothing.
Right.
Where were all these guys who followed the Texans and were talking to Jamie Roots on a daily basis? There's nothing. you know, I mean, it's like, do we want to try hard at being not relevant? So, you know, that's a part of Houston soccer that needs to be grown, is the pressure side of things from the media.
The culture, back to it, internally needs
Absolutely.
To change, urgency, accountability. I've mentioned that. And Victor, I don't mean to step on you, but Glenn, The worst thing that can happen is that the team is not relevant and that nobody cares. So someone's got to start caring. The fans care. The fans, hopefully you guys are listening to us now, can agree or disagree with us. And forgive me, I don't have the number, but I'd love to hear from fans too. And Victor, I hate to monopolize, but it's time. It's time for us as a soccer city to put pressure on our pro team. It is what it is. And if we can't live under those conditions, I think there's a huge question mark there. My apologies for monopolizing, Victor.
No, I'm gonna hold you guys over when Eddie comes on too. So it'll be all of us, and we're gonna talk some other topics as well. Okay. I'm told I can't do that by Andrew because we don't have enough lines. Here's Jose. Jose says, time for Matt Jordan to resign. One playoff appearance in 6 full seasons. General manager is unacceptable. Todd Ramos seems to have some nice ideas when I hear him talk, but the results are not showing. The clock is ticking. Time for results now. They need to feel the pressure. And he's right. They need to feel the pressure. And look, you can understand the fan. Victor, I would just say this. If we look at this team and we go back to when Matt Jordan was introduced, remember Chris Kennedy said this is one of the brightest young minds, you know, in MLS.
Yep.
Right. You know.
Bravo from Montreal.
Pressure makes us all better.
Yeah, and what we've always heard also about Jordan is he knows how to work the salary cap. That's fine, but I think the biggest thing about Matt Jordan, to me, has been he's occupying a role that's very important in a soccer club, the sporting director. And it has to be somebody that has the authority to challenge the coach as well. I don't know if Matt Jordan's the type of guy for that. And that's, to me, going all the way back to the Dominic Kinnear days, I mean, Dominic Kinnear was the be-all, end-all in soccer operations because he was the soccer mind, right? And I think when you go through that, your coach can't be the ultimate soccer mind in your building. There needs to be more soccer people in the building that help make these decisions, that challenge, that give the back and forth. That has been the problem with the Houston.
Yeah, but you don't know that they're. But we don't know that they aren't having a back and forth, right? We don't know that. We're not there.
We know it hasn't been challenging enough because
all we know is the results haven't been good enough. Listen, guys, we're up on a hard break. I got to go. Thank you very much, Victor Ariza of The Striker. And also Alex Parra, Telexitos, he'll be on the call tomorrow night, Spanish language TV. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Victor. Thank you, guys.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Brought to you by John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
You know, I wish I could tell you I could pinpoint one thing. But at the moment, you know, we've fixed issues as we've come through the season. You know, initially, you know, we didn't do well with possession. We started to do better with that. Then we weren't creating as many opportunities. Now we're doing better with that. Now, unfortunately, we're not finishing our chances. And today it was evident that, you know, we should have scored 4 or 5 goals. And unfortunately, we couldn't do that. We only got one, and it was on a penalty. So really, that wasn't even in the run of play. So I'm obviously very disappointed with that. I'd be more disappointed if the team didn't create or if we fell back. But, you know, again, you know, the players fought all the way to the last minute. They created chances to the last minute, but it just wasn't enough to get the win.
All right, welcome back. As we get rolling here, third caller right now, you get a 4-pack of tickets to the Houston Dynamo FC Dallas. It is a Texas Derby. Fourth caller now at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, Houston, Dallas, Saturday back at BBVA Stadium. Dynamo on the road tomorrow night. They will be in Rio Tinto Stadium in Sandy, Utah to take on Real Salt Lake. They played them twice already this year, both draws, so we'll see how this one go. Maxi Arruti scored the last time they were out at RSL to earn the Dynamo a point in that run. Right now, Tigres, a 1-0 lead over Querétaro with Lopez, the goal scorer. All right, we welcome you back. We kept Victor Araiza over of the striker because I feel like maybe Alex and I dominated the discussion a little bit too much. So we're bringing Victor into this segment already, and Eddie Robinson should be joining us. If he's here, he is here. Eddie, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn. Thank you for having me. As always, I look forward to enjoying some good soccer conversation.
All right, let's start it off with, and this one, and I know Victor's aware of this person, but of course this is for maybe the older set. But Gerd Müller passed away at 75 years of age, their bomber. Now, I want to just put these totals out to you at Bayern Munich. 574 goals in 594 appearances. Now, just let that sink in and then make a comment on that.
Well,
is he the Messi back then?
we're in the age, Glenn, of Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. And now you look at Erling Haaland and you look at Robert Lewandowski, these guys that are almost scoring a goal a game and playing all of these games. Most people don't understand that there was an individual that existed. There are actually two. You could throw Pele in there, who did that. You know, soccer in the United States, especially, it wasn't very big back then. And even when Gerd Müller did come to the United States, it wasn't something that American fans of soccer knew much about, especially those in this day and age. And I would challenge everyone to go online, look him up, read about him, because it was absolutely spectacular. He was the Lionel Messi, the Cristiano Ronaldo of that age, of that, you know, time period. And it can't be understated how important he was to Bayern Munich and to the European game.
So, Victor, they called him, Gary Lineker came out, and I thought this was great. Gary Lineker came out, you know, played for England, Barcelona, everybody knows that. Comes out and he says he called Gerd Müller the greatest penalty area goal scorer in the game. Could that type of a player, a real sort of box player, a little bit more traditional in and around the penalty area, could that player play in this system currently with that Tab has? Because Maxi Arruti goes a lot of different places, and
yes,
that means it expects other people to fill
yes,
his spaces. Yeah. Well, I wanted you to come up with something deeper than that, but yes.
No, I mean, of course, and I'm sure I'm not the only one learning about Gerd Müller tonight in Houston. So,
yeah. So let's just do this, Eddie. Maybe it's like a Bobby Wood type player. He's active enough. He can play in a pressing system, but he's also kind of a good box guy, isn't he?
Oh, without question. But if you don't have Tyler Pascher involved and you don't have somebody on the other side, if it's Fafa Pico or someone that's getting to the end line and actually getting balls in their box, because the Dynamo just haven't been getting into the box lately. So a player like that within this system, and even Maxi Urruti, he's going to struggle getting chances because the Dynamo just aren't getting into the box. And that's the biggest issue right now. And you kind of feel bad for the Dynamo with the injuries that they've had to Corey Baird. He could be one of those guys on the wing that could get to the end line, beat defenders, get crosses in. But right now, it's going to be a struggle for Maxi Urruti.
Now, what about, let's just talk about the chances the Dynamo had against RSL. Matias Vera had a great point-blank chance that William Yarborough saved. Yarborough had a good game and goal, let's face it. But the Dynamo did have a lot of shots in this game. Just in a nutshell, give me your thoughts on how dangerous the Dynamo were and how many real chances that both of you guys think they created.
Go ahead, Victor.
Well, obviously, like, there was a two that Carrasquilla had a big part in, right?
One of those was Vera, right?
Griffin Dorsey, hits, goes straight at Yarborough, and then the other one was Vera, where it was the same thing. I mean, at the end, it's that. They just don't have guys that the opportunities are there. I do give, Tab credit when he says that. The opportunities are there. They just don't got guys that finish them, right? If it's not Maxi Urruti all year or Tyler Pascher early in the season, I mean, that's the problem. But I go back, that goes to quality. That when you're building your team, I mean, even Corey Baird, in the little chances he had, he had a couple, but he just couldn't put them away. Get guys that can. That's the easiest way I can put it.
So is it are we asking too much? And listen, all these guys are talented in their own way. They all bring some cachet. They bring something to the table. But are we maybe asking too much from, the whole, hey, we're going to score goals collectively thing? Eddie?
I don't think so. I certainly don't think so, because you don't have that out-and-out goal scorer, that number nine, that Joseph Martinez, or we saw Raul Ruiz Diaz against Portland the other night. He was absolutely
no. I know that. We know that because at the beginning of the year, Eddie, just hold on one second. The beginning of the year, it was said we're going to do this by committee. We already know we don't have the number nine, right? Does that mean the number nine becomes a priority now?
Well, I mean, that depends on the new ownership. That depends on, Matt Jordan and Todd Ramos and their conversations with Ted Siegel and what they're doing, or if they're just stuck with what they've got. But at some point, the players that are here have to step up. And now Tyler Pascher's out. Corey Baird's out. So Memo Rodriguez, he's got to step up. Papa Pico, he's got to step up. Maxi Urruti, still got to do more. I still don't think these guys are doing enough and contributing enough on the offensive side. These guys have got to take their chances. You and I said on the broadcast against Colorado that the Dynamo gotten so many good chances in and around the 18, but they just didn't make good contact on the shot. Was it just an off night? I don't know. I don't know what the reason was, but there were so many good chances that it just kind of trickled to William Yarborough, and he didn't really have any difficult saves to make. So it has to be by committee right now, because otherwise, where are they going to come from? I don't think you can count on any of those guys right now to score 15 or 20 goals this year.
Yeah, and I don't think outside of Maxi Urruti, you really had you had a lot of guys that fit a pressing system, but they're not bona fide big number goal scorers.
Yeah,
I guess that's my point.
Actually, was having a good year up until he got injured, and then, you know, he came back, went to the Gold Cup, and then got injured again. So, I mean, if he's not injury prone, maybe he's scoring more goals, right? I think Pico has to be doing more, absolutely. Even, you know, if he's not scoring them, he at least has to provide them, which is, you know, something he's done good here and there. Our ambassador, right? I mean, where has he been all year for the Houston Dynamo? Hasn't scored a goal in an orange jersey. I mentioned Dorsey because, I mean, it's no fault of his own. I mean, he's a guy they picked off waivers. He didn't even make the cut for Toronto. Why would they think, you know, maybe he could score here? I mean, maybe in that position, and I know it's not plain what if, but isn't that what you brought in Mateo Bajamic to do? I mean, isn't that what he did in Argentina, score goals? I mean, maybe there's part of that. You got a guy on your bench that scored 7 goals last year in Darwin Quintero and provided an MLS high 10 assists. So, and I think part of it is stepping up. The other part of it is like just figuring it out, you know. But you're right. I mean, that's the problem.
What does figuring it out mean?
Because
Victor, what does figuring it out mean?
Somebody has to score goals. Somebody has to score goals. Whoever it does, if somebody, anybody,
yeah, but
raise your hand and do it.
But my question, what I'm trying to lay out here is this about? Is this about player performance, or is this about we're asking too much of some of these players? That's kind of what I'm getting at.
I think it's player performance.
I know people need to score goals. We all know that.
I think it's player performance. Rudy has to score more, I think. You're paying a guy over $1 million a year. The expectation is there for him to be the goal scorer of this team. It starts with him. Mm-hmm. If he's getting found out, right, because, you know, now people are covering him, anybody else? I mean, like you said, Pico, Pasher, whoever's on the wings, that's who it falls upon.
I mean, it's not for lack of work. Now, if I'm looking at here the stats, Eddie.
No, it's not.
25 shots for the Dynamo, 10 on goal against Colorado. And to your point, right, I remember us saying on the air, it's just like they're not striking the ball clean. Everything's right at the goalkeeper. Now, that's that one game. Now, if we go back 4 or 5 games, They weren't even creating chances, Eddie.
No, certainly. And now the excitement and all the hype around Coco Carrasquilla, and he comes out in the second half and drops into a holding role. And I believe Todd was asked about that in the post game, and he said that Jack Price was getting on the ball too much, so we wanted Matias Vera to push up a little higher and follow him around and try to limit that. But you know, we've been told that Coco Carrasquilla, he's the playmaker. He's the guy that's been brought in. The transfer fee was paid. He's going to create chances. He's going to score goals. And then his first start, he plays half of the game playing in a holding role. How do you justify that? He's got to be up in that number 10 role. The players have to be told, get him on the ball. Let's see what he can do. There should be pressure put on him. There should be pressure put on this team to get him the ball. Let the fans see what he can do, because that's what the fans have been asking for what, 3-4 years, a proper number 10? And Tomas Martinez wasn't that. And now you bring in Coco Carrasquilla, who there's a lot of hype around. Get him on the ball.
Yep. It's a lot of pressure for him to come in. Nobody else has accepted the mantelpiece, so let's see if he can be the one that turns it around. Eddie Robinson will be on Channel 55 tomorrow night. Victor Ariza, the striker. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're pretty passionate there. It's a good segment. We have to be honest in our assessments as we try to move forward here, and the Dynamo will look to get a win. Maybe they turn it around tomorrow against Real Salt Lake. We'll take a quick break here. The break is brought to you by FM Kitchen and Bar. 2 locations, one in the Montrose area and one in the Rice Military area.
ESPN 97.5.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off 2 or more select major appliances. Plus, get 3 Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.